Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann, and I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres, Nick. Hey, I think I'm optimistic for the second half. So I have a go Padres today. Here we go.
Yeah, I feel good when the Padres have three all-stars and none of them are closers. I think that's different for me. I like it. It's a change. It's progress.
Yes, feels like. We didn't have any sliding into the mound tonight. That was a nice thing to have happen.
Yeah, Heath Bell, all-timer. That's a great moment for us in the franchise.
Yes.
But we got a really special guest this week, part of the Padres podcasting community. Somebody I've been listening to for a while now, checking in. He posts a lot, they post a lot of episodes. He's with the Locked On podcast network from Locked On Padres. Javier Reyes, what's up?
Woo-hoo. What is going on? Like, hey, man. Folks, what's going on? Yeah. To all ladies and gentlemen that are listening, I hope everyone's doing well. Because, you know, look, I am new to the Padres community, and every single time anyone acknowledges me, it's just lovely. I love being a part of this very normal Twitter sphere that is filled with very reasonable, level-headed takes. No one gets mad at each other, and it's just not horny at all. Like, it's really just the stand-up community of folks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I love every second of it.
So what is your history with broadcasting in general? I mean, I saw on your Twitter bio, you have, mm-hmm. you know, you've written for a bunch of different publications and you've done stuff in media, but what brought you to the Padres? What's your connection to San Diego?
So it's a bunch of things. So I got to be careful here. Uh-huh. Okay. My initial connection to San Diego may or may not be a football team, and people get mad when I talk about it. Okay. That's the original thing.
Yeah.
And that was from when I was a kid. Why did I choose them? Because I like the lightning bolt. And it's as simple as that, because you're a dumb kid. And I didn't want to be, you know, I'm based out of New Jersey, and I was growing up not necessarily the popular kid in class. I may or may not have been the weird nerd type, I guess, even though when I got older, I realized it was actually just because I was at a private school and with 20 kids in my class, actually playing video games wasn't weird, but they made me feel like it was weird because I wasn't into basketball. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing, right?
That was a ratio thing, yes.
Yeah, it was really weird. But, you know, I was like, man, you know, can I curse on here? I forgot.
Yeah, sure. We curse.
All right, just not that I'm a swear like a sailor or anything, but just got to be sure. Like, I was like, man, fuck these kids. I don't want to be no Jets or Giants fan. All right, I'm going to choose the Lightning Bolt. And I love Sonic the Hedgehog and everything. So that was like my original connection. Not that I learned about San Diego culture in a profound way, but I knew a little bit. And, you know, I eventually discovered Tony Gwynn, and I discovered players that were known in San Diego sports in general, whatever it was, even if it was Sean Merriman, even if it was whoever was the big college athlete every now and then, like I'd just hear about him. And then one of my closest friends to this day, who I met in high school, was from San Diego. And he was like, dude, you got to get on the Padres thing, man. You got to get on the Padres. I'm like, the Padres? What are you talking about, dude? And I was like, I'll stick with not caring about baseball. Because that's the thing about my life is I've kind of like gone on and off with baseball. I grew up a Yankees fan. I'm now a recovering Yankees fan is how I like to put it. And I kind of fell off. And we could talk like for hours about why I fell off. I was ranting about the away uniforms with my mom earlier, and I was just like, I hate the Yankees away uniforms. But the big thing was 2015 is when I just kind of, you know, the beginning of Preller's era, right? Now a contentious topic, I think, among Padres fans. But at the time, you know, I'm almost looking for an out a little bit. So I just start following them a tiny bit because I was just so interested in this team that all of a sudden was like, actually, we're going to trade for people and sign people. And I didn't think the moves were necessarily great in a vacuum, but it was interesting. And my friend was like,
yeah,
I literally don't care. This is so exciting. And I was like, really? Yeah. He's like, yeah, you don't understand. They never do this. So I became curious. And then the world ended in 2020, as everybody knows. And then I was, you know, I did some broadcasting stuff in college, and I always loved talking about sports and other things, but I was looking for an outlet for sports. And then Locked On was there, and I was like, okay. And then there was a bunch of teams to choose from. I believe it was Cardinals, Giants, Red Sox, Orioles, Royals, and like a couple others maybe. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to go with the Padres. Duh. Like it'll be better. You know what I mean? It'll be more fun. And I heard about this Tatis kid who's been pretty fun. And the rest is kind of history. And it's been really fun kind of following the team. I definitely jumped on at the right time. These days, it feels like it's bad. But even still, I still think that there's a lot to be excited about. You know, we're at the halfway point and whatnot. But yeah, that's my long-winded story, the origin story.
Oh, hey, that's fascinating. Well, yeah, I mean, Travis and I think I speak for you, Travis, and we kind of had the same trajectory as already being fans, but then there was this lull before Preller got there where we weren't doing the pod anymore. And then he just comes out with this flourish of trades. We call it Preller's December on this podcast, but like, that was just so exciting. And it felt new. It felt some kind of, there was like a newness to Preller's approach to it. That was really exciting. And, we got back into the pod and just, 5 years later, they started doing well. It's like, so, but yeah,
it took sometimes it's worth it. Right. And the only thing that I knew about the Padres before then, aside from like some of their Hall of Fame players and, I'm scrolling Sports Center as a kid and baseball was the only sport I pay attention to, but it's more localized. And like, I'd hear Adrian Gonzalez and like, the big players and whatnot. But I remember like, the 2010, I, for some reason, so clearly remember like hearing about their collapse in the second half, which was really nuts. And I was just like, what the heck happened? And I don't remember that team enough to remember like the vibe that was going on. I know that the internet wasn't as big back then, but like, I still remember it being a story, which says a lot, right? Like, I still remember it even being a story, national news wise, not to bring up any PTSD or anything.
I don't remember the collapse. I don't remember specific games. I do feel like a lot of the fan base, people on this podcast included, never recovered with Bud Black after the collapse. Like it was the best season he probably had, I imagine, right? Or he basically, that was his best season, I think. And people either thought it was like, it was like a glass half empty or glass half full. Like, it was a good season. It didn't work out at the end. And other people just blamed him for blowing it and never, he never really recovered for a lot of the fan base. But, that was so long. That was 12 years ago. I can't believe
that. I was looking up some of my old tweets from then. It was, it was still pain back then.
Yeah. Well, we're in this interesting moment right now for Preller. It's, you started, your podcast in 2020. That's probably the height of optimism for this core.
Yeah.
Tatis is on the field. That was exciting. Now we go into the All-Star break and the Padres are falling apart. People, the payroll is really high and people are concerned that, what we've felt for a while is like, okay, Preller does a lot of exciting stuff. He's engaged in the national media conversation with all these different trades. It's always a fun time around the trade deadline and hot stove, but can he put together a roster? And I mean, what do you see with this roster and what can be blamed on the front office?
Man. Good God. I mean, you get conflicting reports and anybody who's listening to my podcast, let me just say, I don't say his name, the first baseman. It's one of my rules. I just refer to
I think that's a smart, that's a good rule.
And for the record, it worked for the first month of the season. But I think that what's interesting about that move is in my lifetime, and I'm not trying to do the Steve Aday hot take or whatever, but I really genuinely think it's the worst contract in sports that I've seen. And the reason I say that is because one, it's actively hurting a team that wants to be competitive. So some people might say Strasburg is worse and this and that, but there's a team that's really in the thick of it and a team that hasn't won before, right? So like if you see a Red Sox team get screwed over or heck, even the Royals, pretend the Royals have some albatross contract right now. Well, at least they won the World Series and whatever the heck it was, right? With the Padres, it's actively hurting them. And number two, I remember so clearly, nobody was excited about that contract. Like everybody immediately was like, will this be good in year one? Like there are other players, even Rendon, right? Everyone talks about Anthony Rendon right now, but like that was a top tier player, like for sure. I mean, he was one of the best third basemen in the league at the time of the signing, and he just won the World Series. He got all these good stuff going for him. And then you have guys like Steven Strasburg, which was kind of like the "we just like you" contract that they gave, but again, they still won. Yeah. And Jacoby Ellsbury with the Yankees, they signed him and everyone was thought that was bad, but people were like, okay, he'll be good for 2 years. With the first baseman who must not be named, I genuinely do not remember anyone being excited about this guy, who was a dude that, as someone who's played fantasy baseball for a while, I always remember him being maddening and being this guy that was every other year.
Every other year, yes.
Every other year, and then he has this great contract season. My thing was, I just did not understand that move by the Padres. The glass half full version of it is that maybe it made San Diego a destination, right? Where they were like, oh, cool, you're ready to spend. And maybe that paves the way for Manny. It's like, I've won, but at what cost, right? But it's tricky.
I think it was though. I think it, like, I know that's something that fans kind of defend Hosmer on, is that he did make it a destination, but there is something weird about that. I think what's so strange about that guy is that everybody from his generation just cannot get over how good he was, like when he got drafted and was in the development stage. Everybody from that age group is just like, well, that's Eric Hosmer. You don't, I mean, he's a successful person. He is. I mean, but it's like, they can't get over. I think he was such a top, I think he was the number one pick in the draft, but he, like, he was such a big deal coming up, and then he just comes up and he's good. He's not like a disaster, but it's, I don't think he became what he was projected to be.
No,
but the people, the guys that were around, like, playing against him, his peers of his age group are just, and Manny's one of them, like, they can't get over the star power that he had a decade ago, you know.
I think that's
something.
He was the third overall pick, by the way. I just Googled.
Is it third? Okay.
In 2008. Yeah. Which is, it's still nuts. It's funny because some people I talk to who, like, you know, my buddy RM Late, and he talks about, like, in Florida, like, there was, like, this mythical myth building around, like, both him and Manny Machado, right? Where it was like, they really were like these guys that everyone was like, oh my God, like, you hear about them across town and stuff like that. And he tells me stories about it. So from that perspective, yeah. And don't get me wrong, he's had a great career in terms of just, well, life. I mean, congratulations on making it to Major League Baseball. Don't get me wrong, but you're right. There's always been this weird thing to him. And one of the reasons I think it's so kind of fascinating to talk about him without saying his name is that there's more than one reason why he became so maligned. It's just, there's a combination of things, man. And I remember doing a pod about this, like, over the summer, to, like, kind of trying to piece together, what is it? Cause it's not just that he's bad. It's not just that he makes mistakes. It's not just that he's hurting the team. It's not just the money. It's like a combination of all these things on top of the disconnect that the clubhouse clearly has with the front office, where Manny and all these guys are like, don't trade him or we'll be upset.
Yeah, I know.
It's like very, like, you don't see that for a guy who is actively not very good, right? Like, he, just to put it lightly, right? This is a guy that you're hoping to get like a 2 WAR out of, right? And it's interesting for them to be so openly against trading him. This isn't like in the NBA when, you know, you get some middling team that's like, don't trade Donovan Mitchell, we'll be upset. Donovan Mitchell's a good basketball player. For this, it's like, maybe? It's you guys like hanging out with him that much? And on top of that, it's just all the, like, I still, not to bash on him, I talked to him on my pod. He was great. I think he's a great writer too, more so than maybe his Twitter replies suggest. But I remember talking with Kevin Acey and just like, there's this story in the Tribune that's like, old dogs learn new tricks, kind of establishing this idea that 2020 was legit and that he really realized what he was doing wrong and he was changing things. So it creates this thing for fans where fans are now like, what the hell? he told us he was changing things. Constantly almost like water carrying for this guy. And you can't help, maybe there's some racial stuff involved in there. And there's just this vibe of like, why have you guys not been harder on him? You know, for like, as a group, is he just that pleasant and whatnot? I've heard some mixed things on that, but what I can say is, in terms of the clubhouse and the teammates, from what I've heard, I mean, and what you guys have heard, I imagine, it's just like, yeah, all the players seem to like the guy. So it's kind of fascinating, honestly, the story of the ground ball gremlin. It really is.
Well, the thing that has been, I used to put up with his, you know, off and on your batting or whatever, but watching him on the Padres be an abysmal first baseman in the field has just totally soured me on him to the point where I can't put up with it anymore. And the thing about it, to pile on what you were saying, he's such an enigma. He almost has like no shame.
Yeah.
He makes these plays and then he smiles it off like, whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're just,
we're just, I got a kid coming, my bank account,
famous joint picture, or whatever. Exactly. Yeah, they have, yeah,
yeah,
it's yeah, wild. That's one thing I talk about too, where that's another ingredient in the soup of how this happened, right? Like, and I do want to emphasize, like, my opinion, people grief differently. Like, I know people who are absolutely livid that are smiling and then they just do that. People who are throwing things against the wall, that's how they get upset. Shout out Chris Sale, and then you.
Yes.
Have other people like myself where you just kind of stare at the wall and swipe on your phone. Like, that's how I press Singer. So it's possible that, like, maybe he is super livid, but bottom line is it's a bad look. It's a bad look that the collapse happened last year. And this alleged, again, this is another ingredient, this alleged locker room, like, leader is just never to be heard from for fans. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I get it, man. Screw the fans. Like, I totally get it. Like, they're annoying and whatnot. I get it. I get it. But at the same time, there's this weird thing of only you guys, players and media, keep telling us how much of a great leader he is. But someone, you just feel like you never see it. And I think that's why the fans have kind of turned on him so dramatically, aside from the contract, aside from playing well, because Myers isn't the best baseball player in the world. He's got a kind of an albatross contract in his own way, but no one's ever really turned on him, to be honest. And I think that there's that, that's one of the reasons why.
Yeah. I think the Myers thing is weird. Cause they, I mean, I, obviously it's not as long of a contract, so he's we're not going to be stuck with him that much longer, but yeah, I think that what's interesting about, I've never really seen Eric Hosmer as a leader, but I think, I do want to believe in the narrative that Manny is a leader, and it makes me question whether or not, it makes me think about leadership in general. Like, if he goes to work every day and if Manny goes to work and he's the first one there, last one to leave, he works harder than everybody, which I'm sure he does because he's like almost a perfect baseball player at this point. But is it bad leadership to not recognize that somebody on your team is not doing the job that he needs to do? And I mean, is it bad leadership to just not call that out? And I don't think he did. I don't know. I don't know what happened last year. I wasn't in the locker room, but it does feel like Manny runs that locker room and he took Hosmer's side in a situation where, okay, maybe he doesn't want his friend to be traded, but
I think it's the super public thing about it. There's one thing to behind closed doors, be the leader and be like, I like this guy. And hey, man, like, I'm rooting for you to stay. And I really would prefer you not leaving. But to be so open about it is what I think changes it. And I think that that's what's been the kind of the issue here. This isn't like a thing where he mentioned a few years ago in year two of the contract or whatever. And he's like, I'll be upset if they trade him. It's like year five now. The team suffered a collapse and then Tatis isn't there. And you're going on the record and talking about how you don't want him to be traded. And then doing some other things on the record that may or may not have floated around Padres Twitter, which is very funny. Yeah. A certain shirt. But that was the time. But yeah, it's just so much. And God, the amount of stats that my friends will just send me.
Oh yeah.
Like they'll just in the thick of night. I'll be having a great day.
I get the clips from people that are like Astros fans. They'll be like, especially the stuff where he on defense, when he steps inside, he steps out of the line of the field.
He steps back like behind first base. Yeah.
That is the craziest thing. And he's done it a few times. And I still don't understand why the fact that he's so respected by his peers all across the board, all across the league, and he does that and they don't hate him for it. Like I don't know how that works, but enough about that first baseman. Yeah, we got to move on. I honestly trade deadline's coming up. I've said this half jokingly, but I would give up like Gore, Hassel, all these guys just to stop talking about it. That first baseman and Will Myers. It's just like, can we get them? I would give up a lot of prospects just to not talk.
Give that 40 mil off the rot off the payroll.
I don't care about. I mean, it's not my money, but I just don't want to talk about it on podcast anymore. But you know, so when Tatis comes back, assuming that does happen eventually, what do you think happens to the infield? And, you know, I mean, a lot of people, the conventional, you know, Padres Twitter belief is that, you know, Crone would be great at first. That'd be the best defensive infield would be Crone at first, Kim or maybe Abrams at second, and then Tatis at third, or shortstop, and obviously Manny at third. I don't know. I mean, Hosmer's defense has fallen off even more, and you know, that's going to be a big shift in the team when he does come back offensively and what they do with the infield. I mean, what do you think is going to happen when that happens? Hopefully this summer. I don't know.
I mean, it could be an outfield thing too, right? And that's how I view it. I mean, I view the right field thing. I think we're going to see how Estuary Ruiz performs. I think we're going to see if Profar can keep everything up. Grisham, I mean, I've received some replies about saying that I thought he was bad at the beginning of the year. That was my take. I thought he wasn't very good. I just was, it was like my big overreaction. Then I got crap, of course, on Twitter. But it was like the Grisham thing has been extremely sad to the point where actually it's like, this guy is going to be better somewhere else. And I'm not necessarily blaming the Padres. It's just a point of this guy needs to get out of here kind of thing, because I don't think he's this bad. You could tell me that he's like, you could convince me that he's like Jackie Bradley Jr., which is like not a player you can lose. Like you can win with Jackie Bradley Jr. as an outfielder, but like you can't convince me that he's just this atrocious, like Jose Molina circa 2010 at the plate. Like it's just, really, really rough watching him, the amount of grounders to first base. But I don't know. I think it's going to depend on that. And then Prowler, man, the man's been too quiet. That's still my vibe. I feel like the Soto thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to talk about it.
Right. Right.
I did my episode where I felt the theoretical package, I don't think I would do. And maybe it's because I'm jaded. Maybe.
What is the theoretical, what is the theoretical package that you've got? I've heard things. But
it feels like people are tossing out like what the value matches up, because this looks like a Hall of Fame bat. Everyone says Ted Williams and all that. And it's probably the most valuable player that's been on the market in a very, very long time that I can remember. You could argue maybe Mookie Betts, right? Yeah. You could argue Betts, but even Betts was at least he had like 1 year left maybe. So it's close, but man, it's, they say it could be, you know, Abrams, Hassel, Gore, Wood, and then one other guy. And if that's really what it would take to get this guy, which I would understand if it did, it's, I'm not saying that's like that the Nationals would be outrageous for asking for that, but I just am so potentially jaded by how a lot of the trades have gone for the Padres over the past few years. The Snell one has not worked out. Darvish, I think, has been okay. But bottom line is those are assets, and Grisham, not great. Clevinger, not great. Although I don't think that's necessarily Prowler's fault. You can't predict injuries like that. Just a variety of things. Even the Adam Frazier trade, right? Like you gave up a couple assets and Jack Sawinski, and then to Capita Marcano. And then of course, probably, I think, is this the worst one? Is Austin Nola the worst trade that they've made? Is it that one?
I mean,
it's close. Yeah. It's close. Because he was never going to play. I know.
Right.
If that's what you're thinking, like he was never going to play, but even still, that's how I view it, is assets and just having ammo to move around and stuff. And that's kind of my perspective on this. I don't know if going all in and blowing up your farm is right for this team. But again, if they trade for him tomorrow, I'm still going to be hyped because Juan Soto. So like I'm scared. I'm scared about what that return could look like.
Hassel, Gore, Wood, and what was the fourth one?
Abrams,
yeah.
And explain this to me, because I'm really bad at the contract thing. I understand baseball, but the contract stuff, he's making
17 this year.
This year, and then he has arbitration the next 2 years. So if we do this deal, we have him in control for this year and two more years, correct?
I think it's 2.5. I think it's 2.5 years
of Soto right now. He's going to get paid eventually.
Yeah, we would not pay him whatever he's going to get. I think he wants to be the first $500 million player, maybe.
He might get
I mean, it's not impossible, yeah.
No, it's not.
After, we'll see what Judge, you know, that's going to, I don't know. I would be, that would be a lot. That would be a lot, but
because
I think I think, I don't know. Are you that, what have you seen? What do you, I mean, Gore and Abrams, that's, I think Abrams is going to be good. And I think Gore is going to be really good. I just, but Soto's like, once
in, I know, you know, man.
Yeah, but it's like, Soto. Look at our outfield.
He just you were going to blow there. Up your team and you told me, well, it was for Soto. It's perfect. Even if like it doesn't work out, like still I'd be like, well, at least I get it. Yeah, I get why you did
everything
it
they could guy. At it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, wouldn't like, that I be it. The, wouldn't that be a reflection of this, the ultimate confidence in Preller that he mm-hmm. could restock? I mean, that's yeah, his thing. Yeah. That's, he can always.
It's true. I mean, even some... now, even now, right?
Yeah. Like, we restocked quick.
We just talked about like how many trades they've made that have been misses and whatnot. And it's like, you gave up Ty France. Heck, you gave up Trey Turner, like, and all this, but they restocked. All of a sudden we're talking, Ruiz gets called up to the league. And we still have Robert Hassel, who I remember when they drafted him, people were excited. They were like, this could be a good guy. And immediately was proven right. Abrams and then Gore had a very odd trajectory with everything that happened there. But, you know, he turned it around. And now everyone's talking about James Wood, right? And Robert Gasser and some of these other prospects. So, like, it is true. Maybe they're – maybe that is because some people were responding to me saying they can refill the farm. Maybe we are underestimating the Padres' – new era under Preller and the farm director and all the people that are part of that organization, that maybe they've been okay at developing talent, even if we've had a couple stumbles in there. It's not necessarily their fault. So I don't know.
I mean, the reporting is that like we're front runners, and you know, I don't, this vague like pre-deadline reporting is tough, and I don't know
what it's hurt us over the past.
I don't
year.
Know. Yeah, I mean, I mean,
have the Padres ever made a big trade like this? I can't think of anything that would be even close to this. Because Manny was a free agent, right? We signed him in the offseason. It wasn't a trade.
Well, they did like
most of the other trades were for developing players. This is like a Fred McGriff type of deal.
Yeah, the biggest
trading away Adrian Gonzalez was pretty big, I guess. But in terms of trading four people,
Robbie Alomar and Joe Carter for McGriff and Tony Fernandez.
That's probably the biggest one I can think of in like a contention type situation, because
nobody trades like that. Nobody trades like that anymore with like four stars or three stars.
Yeah,
like,
and
that's another thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And now that they're spending all this money for me and my age looking at death in the face with this team, you know, it's been so long. Like I just want them to do it. Like just go really big. Mm. I've been hearing we got to plan for the future for 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to plan for the future anymore. I want it right now. And that I know it seems highly improbable, but you know, given my life experience, I want it. Just go for it. Just, you know, YOLO, let's do it.
Yeah. I think,
do you think Estuary would ever jump into those conversations instead of Abrams? Do you think there's like, I don't know. I bet Abrams,
I think they
want to
keep their pitching.
Higher. Yeah.
I think the Pods want to keep their pitching. I think that's why you've seen them trade for so many pitching. I think that they know that Gore at one point was scary and they just didn't know what was going on. And then they've got Gasser, and then there just seems to be a big fall off. Ethan Elliott just kind of like retired. Like, I think that's the issue, where you don't know where the pitching is. That's where I would be worried, because in theory, after this year, you don't know if you have Musgrove, because he's entering free agency. Same thing for Manaea, same thing for Clevinger, who looked awesome, by the way, his last outing. And then you have on the books, you have Darvish, who will he hold up? I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but will he hold up? And then you've got Snell, who's also on the books. And then after that, it's like Nick Martinez and Gore. Yeah. And that's kind of it. So I wonder if like you really need to try and hang on to Gore in this deal, right? Like you need to do that. And then just kind of hope and pray, man. But like you said, I totally get if it's just like, let's ride. Like, let's do this. Enough is enough. Like,
I mean, who are the who are they competing against? I mean, who else is throwing packages around?
It's I heard three other teams, but I don't remember.
No, everybody wants them. I mean, it's like, I wonder what the packages are that we're competing against for prospects. I mean, if it's going to be prospects, top prospects.
Maybe. I mean, I hate it, but the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because they can do the payment thing and they don't have to worry about that.
Betts and Soto in the same outfield just doesn't seem fair.
Their whole team is already pretty cracked. So if they did that, like I always say this on my pod, like I hate the Dodgers, obviously, but you do also have to hate the rest of baseball, because they wouldn't be able to do this if at least some other teams gave a shit. You know, like it's not the Dodgers' fault that the Red Sox were like, cool, we'll give away the best player we've had since late 90s, 80s, whatever, Pedro, for Alex Verdugo and Jeter Downs. Like, it's not the Dodgers' fault that they're sure we'll take them right off. It's the fucking Red Sox. And they all of a sudden acted like they couldn't afford money for like their best player they've had in forever. So like, yeah, I hate them too, but also this is other teams' faults. And it just sucks that we're stuck in their division. I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't wait though. I can't wait. I also am still having trouble believing that he's going to get traded. That's the other thing. It's still really hard to like wrap my head around that.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, the Nationals after this happens, they're going to be like, we need to find a Juan Soto type. Like that's what they're going to do. Cause they, everybody wants to find Juan Soto. And then when you do have him, you can't pay him, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the trade deadline is coming. I mean, besides the Juan Soto sweepstakes or whatever you want to call it, I mean, what else do you think the Padres should do? I mean, obviously you can always go after pitching, they can always strengthen their bullpen, but I think that's probably what they're going to do. I mean, Preller usually doesn't just do one trade, you know.
He clearly tried to get rid of the ground ball gremlin. He tried.
Oh yeah.
You know, like I think that they really, really like that might have been the only thing they wanted to do this offseason. They tried. I mean, that Mets deal that was being reported on. Yeah, the reports have really betrayed us, man. Let me tell you. I still remember when they were supposed to land Nelson Cruz, and then he went to the Nationals. I remember that. That was nuts. I think that, you know, there's some outfielders out there. People talk about Ramon Laureano, Austin Hayes. I think Benintendi's going to have too many suitors. Like, personally, I think that I think that the bidding could get pretty nuts on him. And I think the Pods are going to be like, actually, we'll just take some other guys instead. Although maybe not, because of that, the story about him not being vaccinated, maybe that cuts off a lot of American League teams. So maybe it'll actually dampen a little bit. But I don't know. Benintendi's almost seeming like somebody's going to go for it. And I just feel like the Pods are going to be like, I don't know. Yeah. But I mean, he would be, I like him. I'm buying what he's doing. So that would be interesting. And then, you know, Austin Hayes and whatnot, there's going to be some other people that get talked about. Robbie Grossman, I know he's having a bad year, but I like that guy. I think he's pretty good. It's tough. And then Joey Gallo, because Preller loves going back and dipping back into the well.
I don't see it. The Joey Gallo thing, I feel like it comes up every deadline. And I just, I don't.
It has been for years. I remember when Abrams and Gore was the alleged, what the Rangers wanted. Oh, God. That is a bad timeline. that happens, man. Yeah. Oh my God.
I could just see Gallo driving us nuts
it's funny because in theory, he really is a perfect fit for the team if he does what he was doing before, which is great defense and a lot of power. And the Padres do not have power right now. And they could use some great defense. And then the walks would, in theory, like what he's done in past years, having like an enormous walk rate, that is good. Like, he is a good baseball player. The problem is that I'm wondering, like, did the league finally figure out a guy who is just striking out too much? And it's just like, it's just not going to work. Like, that seems like the direction, or maybe it's just New York and it's being hard to play there. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a fun few weeks. It's coming up. I mean, we got
2 weeks from today.
I feel like the All-Star game. I mean, did you guys watch the All-Star game? We should talk about it, I guess.
Of course.
Yeah, man. It's there were some good vibes there, you know.
I guess I'm always just, I feel like it's for kids kind of. I wish it was after the trade deadline. It would be a nice treat after the deadline, but I'm just so into the deadline that like I just want to get it over with, the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. But it was fun, you know.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Manny got booed, which is exciting.
Yeah, that was great.
That was highlight. The Dodgers pitcher Gonsolin gave up 3 runs. That was good. I was rooting.
We didn't get to watch Musgrove pitch much. They were interviewing everyone else during his, but he did good. He was like the only Padre that.
Yeah, he didn't allow any runs. Unlike
2 Ks, Gonsolin struck out Judge.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a fun little Midsummer classic, I guess. I mean, Juan Soto, our future Hall of Fame outfielder, won the home run derby over Pete Alonso, the the one who probably wanted it a lot more than Juan Soto.
I think what they should do, actually, we're always looking for ways for baseball to stand apart. You know, I say the trade deadline is in the middle of the All-Star game.
Yeah,
that's what you really should do. You want to make baseball wild, put all these guys that are All-Stars and whatnot and have them be reacting and sometimes being traded in the middle of it. Is this extremely callous and awful for all these people that will move? Yes, 100%. I'm only being like 30% serious here, but like I remember like in the NBA, I talked about my show, like DeMarcus Cousins got traded.
I was about to
in
say
the middle of the All-Star game and people went wild. It's like, I think that should be the MLB's thing where it's like, and the seventh inning stretch, here is Jeff Passan. Like, he just comes out to the field and he's like, Mr. Soto, unpack your bags. You are going to the, and all Dodgers fans get excited. And then he says the Padres, and then it just, everybody goes wild. That's just, and like
AJ Preller comes out of the dugout with a jersey and they do all the jersey swapping on the field.
He comes out like Undertaker. Like he's got,
I feel like there's going to be, I bet there's going to be deals. There's going to be deals tomorrow, I think. Cause I think a lot of the GMs get together during this.
Tomorrow
Don't you remember that? Don't you remember that there's always like
in the suites together?
Didn't the Pomeranz thing happen like right after the All-Star game?
Ooh, good point, actually.
I feel like maybe it's just specific to us, but I just remember recently there's been a lot of deals like right after, before the break. Then everybody can go to their new team and have a couple days. Maybe
last year's was also really nutty too. Like last year's was historically nutty. Like the kind of the craziest one since I think it was like 2015 was the last crazy one of that level when it was like Tulowitzki was getting traded around. But yeah, I mean, God, last year's was nuts and it sucked for us, but it was, I mean, I don't think this year is going to be as crazy. I mean, who's the big guy right now, right? Like the big guy's probably,
I mean, Soto, I guess.
Is the big guy. If it's true and super legit that they like, if it's real, if people are like, no, really he's going to move, then he's the number one guy. Otherwise it's like, you got Luis Castillo out there. Benintendi's out there.
Yeah.
And there's probably some other random name out there that no one's talking about. Maybe the Rangers go nuts and they just decide to start trading for people. I don't know. It could happen. Like, it's just, it's always fun though. I think the MLB deadline doesn't get enough credit for being kind of the last of the three that can still be pretty fun of the three majors. Like the NFL sucks. And then the NBA, I think it used to be turnt. But teams got smart and they were like, actually, you shouldn't trade your entire team for one guy. Baseball, for like baseball nerds, like there's always, you're going to have those Austin Hayes type of deals, you know, and they get traded and whatnot. Although he might not move now because the Orioles are good, but
I feel like the NBA gets this same energy for like the first day of free agency. That's like, that's the trade deadline.
Yeah. Basically. That's the trade deadline for them. So they make up for it. Yeah. Agency's lit. Free agency is so friggin' ridiculous and all the tampering that clearly goes on and just the insane. They mysteriously side contracts like 2 minutes after 12 a.m. like
we haven't talked at all, I promise.
I love it so much.
Before we get out of here, I mean, like if this does continue and they fall apart, like what are you gonna, I mean, what are we gonna do as people? Do you want to still do this? I mean, I don't know.
I feel at this point I have to.
Are we going to litigate like Melvin? Is it Melvin's fault? I don't think anybody's going to blame him. It's
it's obviously these contracts' fault. I mean, we got a lot of dead weight on the team.
They're people, Travis, but we can. No, but I know what you mean, though. It's like we have to start looking at this core, and if it's not the core. And they can't, you know, make the playoff. I mean, they're on a trajectory right now. If they don't right the ship, like.
Honestly, Nick, if we fall apart this year, we need to look at some kind of like curse reversal, something.
Sage.
Yes. Something that is not going to be fixed by spending money or contracts. There's a literal curse.
Travis Irving over here. Okay.
I just said, what else can you put it on? I mean, Are we not the oldest baseball team without a World Series?
Might be.
I think Preller probably goes down if it. I mean, right?
Yeah. Do you think he's on the hot seat? Because that plays a big part into this too. If he is, then he's trading for Soto in like 2 days.
It's his third manager, and this guy's respected. Yeah. I mean, at least I don't know. Like, it seems like the Padres fan base just was always able to just give Preller a pass and blame these inexperienced managers, not connecting the fact that he hired them. But you know,
mm-hmm. like, yeah, he always had a scarecrow.
Yeah, but it was always like, you know, he's had chances. And if it just feels like he doesn't know how to compose a roster that fits together, which I think is a skill that I think a lot of general managers don't really figure out. I mean, maybe this just isn't the right role for him in an organization. Like, he's an amazing scout, and maybe that means you can't build out an office.
Maybe, you know? Yeah. I really do think though, like, maybe that's the big ingredient here, and we're not on the inside and we're not in the front office. Like, this is, we see it in sports all the time, that if a guy who has the ability to destroy your future, to trade for now, and he's on the hot seat, they're going to do it. It happens every single time. I don't know why this is the first one that came to mind, but like the Pistons traded for Blake Griffin, like that comes to mind, where it was like clearly a bad deal, but he knew clearly he was getting fired. So he was like, fuck it. Like, what do I give a shit if the Pistons get destroyed? I'm already established. I'm good. Like, that's what could happen, I think, where he's like, yeah, we'll give you whatever. So I'm.
And you think that might manifest it? You think it might manifest itself in the Soto deal?
Yeah.
He just goes nuts. Says, and we he's got like, Soto.
I'm on the hot seat. We got to win now, because they're not going to be patient with me for much longer.
And it could look like that. The thing is, it could look like that, but you could also say, you know, maybe Peter Seidler's looking at his health, you know, and it's like, I can't wait for Hassel. I need to get Juan Soto and figure it out.
Oh, it would be amazing. It would be amazing. But,
well, hey, Javier, thanks for coming on. It was a real fun time getting to talk to you. I've listened to your show for a while now. I like the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks, you know, I like how you guys go on to other teams' podcasts and have pretty cool discussions. I especially listen to your show when you talk to people within the division. That's always interesting.
Those are always fun. Fun. Probably gonna have some of those coming up. Someone was with Mets guy. I'm going to the Mets game, actually. They're playing in New York. I'm going on Saturday, so that should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. Maybe I'll catch Tatis and Manny or something like that, or my beloved Lindor, who I root for every Puerto Rican player ever, and I still love Francisco Lindor. So currently, as of playing shortstops, my favorite shortstop in the league. The other guy is just, it's so sad seeing him in the dugout sometimes. He looks so sad. He's got like the puppy eyes almost. He looks it's really funny, like, seeing him.
He's like that when he's healthy too, when he's not playing. When he's not playing well, it's like, when are we going to get the sunshine back? You know, it's like, no, I know. He's a human being. I mean, there's ups and downs. I think sometimes we just try to build them up into something else, and they're just people. But I know. Check out the Locked On Podcast on everywhere you can find podcasts. And how can we follow you on Twitter?
You want to spell at Javapeno, the best Javapeno Twitter handle in the game, man. Javiipeno, and then at @LO_Padres for the show account. That's where I exclusively tweet about the Padres. Sometimes I tweet about other dumb nonsense on my own account. So
cool. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll check in with you later in the season if you want to.
Yeah, man. I'd love to. It was a blast.
Yeah.
I kept faith, man. I got it. You guys are always killing it with the content, and especially the tweets. You guys have had some bangers over the years. I know I've replied to a few of them. Just some absolute bangers that I'm like, that's it. They know what they're doing over here.
Thanks. Yeah, we've been doing it. We've been in this life for a long time. we're in Padres Twitter 3.0 now, or I think.
Yeah, definitely.
We're 1.0, and I think, you know, there's a new movement coming, and that's terrifying.
Yes.
All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for coming on. Check out the Locked On Padres podcast. Check out the other stuff from the Kept Faith at thekeptfaith.com, Twitter and Instagram, Facebook. We'll be back. Travis, what do you think?
Hey.
Pre-deadline or post-deadline? We'll probably do one before the deadline. I think that's...
We'll have one before the deadline, but I just got to say, Padres, get it together for the second half. I don't want another last year. Let's go, Padres. Let's get it done.
Yeah, man. Let's do it. Get it done.
What are we doing? All right. Come on, guys. Good night.